World's on fire. Our culture is disintegrating.
Hey, pass the salt.
It's time. Hey, you, pass the salt.
You know why it's disintegrating? Because we're jellyfish.
Pass the salt, will you?
Pass the salt.
Pass the salt, amigo.
It's time.
I think they could give us a new name. I believe we are Evan Jellyfish.
Hey, will you pass the salt?
Pass the salt.
We need salt over here.
It's time for Pass the Salt.
Pass the salt.
But we like to share the gospel without any backbone to it, see?
The views, opinions, and seemingly outrageous comments expressed in this program are based on the Holy Spirit leading of a man called Coach.
I gotta ask you this out there, Christian America.
It's time for Pass the Salt with a Coach, Dave Dobenmeyer.
Man, Monday morning already, ready to roll here. Got a lot on the table. Thanks for joining us. Hey, quickly, real quickly, great Christmas gifts. Great Christmas gifts. If you want to order a hat, you can do it online at CoachDaveLive.com. And if you get them, we'll get them out to you before Christmas if you want one. It's a good way to support us, but it's good to wear them around. And so not to feel like I'm hawking our wares here, but if you're looking for a gift, man, we got all of really the navy ones, and really we got some camo. I've just ordered some more, but they won't be ready before Christmas. So they're good gifts. So keep us in mind on that. Listen to this. You're not going to believe this. We got the camper delivered. Long story short, catalytic converter. Can you believe that? I mean, I don't know anything about cars. I had it in three different shops, and it quit running, going 10 miles an hour. And finally, we get it down there, and somebody says, well, golly, could it be the catalytic converter? And they cut a hole in the pipe to the catalytic converter, and it runs like I'm telling you, it's unbelievable. So we got that thing delivered, and that's all good. We got the camper down there, catalytic converter, hats. Okay, cool. This blew me away. So stay with me a second. We'll have Dr. Paul Goslin come up here in a minute and kind of explain his situation and what's all been going on down there. But this blew me away. Pull up number one. I don't know if you guys know who Warren is. Just freeze it right there. Warren Armour he's really like the owner, the originator of the Patriot Party News. You know, I stream on the Patriot Party News, and Warren's the guy, man. He's the guy behind it. So I'm looking at I'm just scrolling down through Facebook, and Warren Armour pops up, and I know Warren. So I thought, well, I'll look at this. You know how it is when you look at videos on Facebook. I'll look at this. Lord, just let the words of our lip and the meditation of our heart be pleasing in your sight. Jesus' name. Forgot to pray. So I'm watching Warren. This is like unbelievable. These are God winks. This is how I know that the Holy Spirit is real. Warren lives in Dallas, okay? And, of course, they've been doing ministry down in the hurricane area as well. They've been running stuff back and forth. And I turn this on and play this, and look who pops up right in the middle of Warren's video. Go ahead.
I'm here with Scott Mallory and Cowboy Dave and Alice.
What? Scott Mallory? Trucking for troops and Cowboy Dave? What? Warren Armour ends up with Trucking for Troops, who we've helped, and Cowboy Dave, who we helped. Go ahead and play this. What a small one. Look, Tracy, we had no communication about this. I didn't have any idea. Warren shows up at the same daggone place. Can you believe this? Go ahead.
We're in the truck, fixing to go to the parade, and I got to talk to Cowboy. Cowboy has been in Swannanoa since day one, and just listen to what he's got to say. This is the kind of stuff you need to know.
Hey, Dave.
So, how's the baby doing? Hello, America.
You can take it off. You can take it off now. Is this unbelievable, folks? How tight this circle really is. How tight it is. Because for what I know, Warren has not been working in Swannanoa. I mean, he's made several trips down there, and you know, his organization, they've been doing a lot and sending a lot and taking a lot. And he shows up not only in Swannanoa, he shows up where Cowboy Dave is, and he shows up where Trucking for Troop. It may not blow you away. It absolutely blew me away. How tight the circle
what we are doing really, really is. Really, really is. And so I just wanted to encourage all of you out there that there's something's happening here, and what it is ain't exactly clear. There's a lot going on. Now, one of the things I promised we were going to do this morning, man, Dr. Paul, I got to say this first of all. It's so good to have you back. Let me tell you why. Dude, I have so many medical questions and I don't know who to ask. Does anybody feel like that but me? Are there any of you out there, I'm just talking about me, who actually trust your doctor? Anybody out there who really, really feels like they can go to the doctor and get something other than a pharmaceutical prescription? Is there anybody out there that, huh? And I, you know, since Paul's been on the sidelines, I've been saying, geez, who can I, Paul's back in the game. Now, he doesn't have his license. We all know what happened with Paul. Supposedly, he threatened to kill a police officer in New York, and they shot him and locked him up and yada, 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 yada. And Paul, I want you to know that we've all really missed you, but we didn't miss you because we like it. We missed you because you brought so much wisdom to us, dude. Just kidding. Just kidding. So now we feel like we got somebody we can lean on again. But folks, I want you to see real quickly what they did to Paul Gosling, okay? And I'm going to let him kind of tell the story. Paul, don't get yourself in trouble here, okay? Don't say anything that you could be used against you in a court of law. Don't do any of that kind of stuff. But folks, I want you to see, pull up number five. Look at the media of Paul Gosling. I just Googled online. Town official describes encounter with Maine doctor shot by trooper in New York. And then they tell the story what an awful guy he is and tried to run over a police officer. This was just one media. Go to the next one. Go to number five. Man shot in Berryville is a physician who lost his medical license. Folks, you think the media doesn't control what we believe? I'll put these in the chat if you want to read what the media said about Paul. And then one more. Number seven, Maine man accused of trying to ram constable. So they do everything they can to muddy the water so there's no way when you come out of it that you can look good. It's exactly what they did to President Trump, wasn't it? Muddied the water so that no matter what, there's nothing that you can do. Nothing you can do. It's how the game is played. So, Paul, we'd like to give you just a few minutes here to explain to all of us who really, really care about you, don't give us any BS. What the hell happened, Paul? Go ahead. You're still muted, bud. You're still muted.
I said I wish I had one of those hats when I did my little trip.
I'll get you one, brother. I'll get you one, all right?
So anyway, I don't want to screw things up for me, yes, but
so be careful what you say.
When I did my trip about 2 weeks before that, I had gotten rid of all my guns. Okay. And the reason I did it was the Holy Spirit. And part of it was that a friend of mine in Maine, Arshawn, he was instrumental in going out to schools for their pedophile kind of school books and so forth. But he had either committed suicide or something else happened. And and I think that one of the members here had mentioned it, and it really stunned me. So I suspect this Holy Spirit told me to get rid of the guns. By the way, I wasn't carrying a gun when I went down there, obviously, because I hadn't gotten rid of them. And I literally gave them away, about $20,000 worth of guns and ammo I just gave away.
So, Paul, we know this. We know this, that the police cannot present, they cannot show us a gun that they took from you.
Of course not, Coach. Okay. And I was actually, I was homeless at the time when I took my trip. And the reason that for that was I had a place, it just fell through. I figured I'd live in my office. And because I've done that before over the past 25 years of my practice. And so I had just bought a new car. It's a new used vehicle. And so I had temporary license plates on there. And I also had somebody who was stalking me, a female who was stalking me, who put a a missing persons report out there that said I was armed and dangerous. And that went over the big thing. And my current status now is that I'm on my own recognizance. I've been released after 4 months in jail. And I'm not out on bail. And I'm just waiting for another hearing. And
so, Paul, hang on a second, because they charged you with attempted murder of a police officer, yet released you without bail. Is that true?
Yeah, well, you know, it's I had some good lawyers for the time being, okay? Their goal was to get me out of this situation. And possession is 9/10 of the law, and that means if you aren't possessed by the powers that be, they can do whatever they want with you.
Amen.
It's a scary situation when you can't use your left side and you're being thrown in amongst the wonderful people that I met in jail. And there's some good folks there. But I guess the point is I was on my way to see Casper in Georgia from Maine. So I just took off because I was so frustrated. I didn't have a place. I wasn't sleeping well. I drove for 2 straight days, day and night, and I started to, you know, it's called highway hypnosis. You see a lot of accidents. There's a lot of construction. I was nervous. My GPS died. My phone died. And I have to say the Holy Spirit must have some reason for me to do this. And actually, the only thing they found in my possession was my phone, my keys, because it was a very clean car, and I had my Bible study with me, guys. I'm serious. This is the only thing in there. Of course, there was no guns. So what had happened was I parked in an empty parking lot in this town. I basically got lost coming back from Norfolk, Virginia, and I got lost in upstate New York. And I was in an empty parking lot, and the town manager, apparently, he didn't like me there, right? It was an empty, the place was closed, you know, it's a kind of a small town attitudes. And from that point on, he called his friends, I guess, and, you know, I can't really get into too much about what happened after that, but I will tell you this. I have videos because everybody wears a cam when they call a SWAT team. You got 30 cops, you got snipers, you got everything. It was about, I would say it's a pretty scary situation.
Hey, Spencer, pull up number 6 real quick while Paul's talking. Because I have a little bit of video of this, Paul, if I can hang on a second. You and your red car. Scrolling down at the bottom of it, there's a police blockage going down. There, play the one down at the bottom. This is a gas station. You would see Paul drive back and forth several times. And then here he is in his red car being followed by the police. So you can see that right there. There's Paul in his car. And they're following him around, yada, yada. Go ahead, Paul, as this place. Just continue. This is very
Yeah, exciting. Listen, I have to reiterate that I was not in my right mind, okay?
He hadn't slept, whatever.
Right. And so there's actually cops behind me, and it almost felt like I was being lured into the kill zone. And you'll see on the berm up here, that's where I was shot from. I was shot not with a .45, but I was shot with a slug, a 12-gauge hollow point hydro shock slug, tore into my back, and
They said you tried to ram a police officer.
That's a pretty slow ramming right there. You see a cop just trickling down there. And about when I straightened out my car and I was getting in the lane, I was just trying to get away from these people. I got shot and instantaneously hit the gas because there was nobody in front of me at the time.
So, Paul, they didn't shoot out your tires. They didn't surround you and say, come on.
No, they didn't use non-lethal.
They didn't do any of that, right?
No, they did not use – but I'll tell you, this is all the videos or most of the videos, right? You don't hear the 911 call. They didn't make sure they didn't send me that. There was a point where a cop said he saw me with a gun. That's when the troops came up. Okay, so his vision wasn't so great, I guess.
They found no gun on you.
Of course not, Coach. It's New York. I mean, and like I said, whatever reason, the Holy Spirit told me not to, just to get rid of my guns. And, you know, you got to remember, guys, I've been doing this for a long time, kind of fighting the medical establishment in terms of some of the corruption and stuff. And the stress gets to you. 8 months of not working, and it was rough. And I was trying to piece together what I do here for other people in the country and, you know, giving them advice, you know. Right. And so.
So, Paul, out of nowhere, they didn't surround you. They didn't hold your guns, come out with your hands up. They didn't do any of that. At some point, a police officer fired a weapon at you.
Yeah, at the berm of that, the berm. So I had actually a cop who was very close to me. He could have touched my car. I was trickling by him. And I felt like somebody hit me in the back of the, in my back with a, you know, a 16-pound sledgehammer. I mean, that's how bad it was. And then shortly after that, I had passed out and had an out-of-body experience. I watched as they just pummeled onto me and drove me out of the car. And, you know, and I'm still hallucinating at this time anyway, but eventually I passed out and then I had that out-of-body experience. But, I mean, it was 18 units of blood that I had to receive. It took them 80, as far as I can see, it took them 80 minutes to call a helicopter.
Well, how are you not dead?
Well, that was God. You know, I have to tell you, I mean, I literally, this is what they found. This is what they found in my possession. My keys, my phone, my glasses. I didn't even have hardly any clothes with me. I was just going out down there to get a bit of a deliverance because I was not in a good place, my head was. But I'll tell you what, I was a lot worse when they threw me in jail.
Hmm.
For a whole month, I was hallucinating. It's, you can only reach so much of your stress level before your mind starts to play tricks with you. And driving 2 days straight was not a smart idea, but.
Okay, Paul, so listen, as they would say, as Mr. Friday, Detective Friday would say, just the facts, sir, just the facts. Don't say anything. But, you know, they'll get a copy of this, certainly, Paul. So just be careful what you say. I know that you are. I know that you are. But just be careful with it.
I'm trying. No, the thing is, it is the facts. I mean, I was sick. I know that I have video and sound of somebody saying that I had a gun. And that's when the troops came in. And I'll tell you what, when you get surrounded, you know it. I mean, they're in the woods. They're all around me. I mean, I was in jail with a guy who lives in that town that says he could not believe what was going on. And
because it's a small town, right, Paul?
It's a small nepotistic town. Yes, yes. Not a lot of Christians there. Can I help you? You know, kind of thing.
Yeah.
You know, you look distressed. And I was. I was distressed. I was actually, when you're driving like that, and I don't know if anybody's ever experienced this, you start to see things that aren't there. And, you know, I found myself in that place, and God has a reason for me to go through this. But.
How did you get out, Paul?
Well, I have lawyers, and I don't know how the justice system works. I do know how the medical system works, but my lawyers took about 4 months of working it out and, you know, making deals kind of thing. But there's a lot of things I can't tell you about what some of the players in this, but it was a rough time.
How long were you in jail?
4 months.
4 months in jail.
Yeah. And remember, I was in I have a I have an almost $400,000 medical bill because of a week-long stay. And this thing called the DRG, a diagnostic related group. And that's how long you're supposed to be in the hospital, which is supposed to be close to 3 weeks after the injury that I got. I was sent into jail in an isolation cell after a week. And I was so sick. I couldn't get up to go to the bathroom. Okay. I mean, when you get that much transfusion of blood and all that, the surgery and everything else, and my shoulder obviously doesn't work very well. But I mean, there was a lot of stuff. And to be honest with you, their fear was probably as bad as my fear. And because, you know, fear is, you know, they say that a cobra won't strike unless he senses fear, right? And I think humans have that ability too. And I was fearful. I just didn't want anybody near me when I was in this place. I just wanted to be left alone, get my bearings, you know, let the sun rise and get a little bit of sleep so I could get home.
So, Paul, you were in the hospital how long?
Just a week, man. And
a week, and then they stuck
you in jail. No nursing facility after that. It was
stuck in jail.
Huh?
They stuck you in jail.
Yeah. You know, Coach, you don't have to ask the question. You know how it works. Okay, there was no gun. So the narrative changes very quickly.
So where do you stand now legally?
I'm still facing felony charges, Coach. I have to go back there at some point. And, you know.
Facing felony charges of what, Paul? How'd they charge you with?
I don't know. I mean, I have three felonies and, you know, something like attempted murder.
You had no weapon.
Yeah. Well, no. Car is a weapon, apparently.
They used the car as a weapon, saying you tried to run down a police officer.
Yeah.
Is there video of that, Paul, you think?
I'm sure there is. Yes. And it, believe me, it doesn't look anything like what, you know, they want it to be. And so, I mean, that's why I'm out on my own recognizance. But I mean, I had to go through a lot. I mean, and I want to make sure that people understand your prayers and the letters that you sent me. I got hundreds of letters from people from all over the country, a lot from, you know, Betty and obviously Coach and a lot of other people. And I'll tell you, when you're in there alone and you're in this with 54 other guys in a pod, and they put me in the pod with some real nasty psychos, and one's a murderer and he gets in your face twice while you're there and he wants to kick your ass, you know, and you can't barely move, you know, it was kind of rough, Coach. And
So Paul, they charge you with attempted police murder of a police officer, sir, and let you out with no bail on your own recognizance.
Yes, Coach. Thanks to my lawyers, they managed to do that. But it took
they don't see you as a threat to society, obviously, huh?
Well, I guess I'm not a threat to society, I don't think.
Okay. Paul, I want to move kind of quickly here. Let me ask you this. Where are you staying and where are you financially, Paul? Not with all the bills. I understand all the bills. How are you right now? How are you making do right now?
Well, I have the other thing I got to remind people is you know who your friends truly are when something like this happens. And there are some people that just won't have anything to do with me after they found that I was shot. Like somehow I deserved it. And that hurts. But I'm staying in a place. That was the stipulations. I went from there to the VA. I went from the jail to the VA. They wanted the VA to take over. So I was in kind of a nursing home setting there for a while till I could find a place. And I couldn't find a place under the VA because I had a felony hanging over my head.
Wow.
So then I had to call in my friends, Dr. Northrup, if you know who she is. She kind of helped me find a place And, you know, I'm nestled in the woods in Maine. And, you know,
So, Paul, they shot you. I want to make sure I get this right, right? They shot you with a gun, and then you have to pay the bill?
I don't know, Coach. I'm going to the VA to stay. But I, honestly, it's $330,000, and the helicopter ride's like $80,000. You know, and I don't have a vehicle that's impounded. So, you know, you get yourself into these things and, you know.
Paul, if we get you a car, can you drive it? Are you allowed to drive?
I did get access to a vehicle. Believe me, I did. And, you know, there's a reason for this. I don't know what it is yet.
Paul, here's what I'd like you to do, Paul. Send me an address and I'll publicize it here where people can send you some financial help. I know that you don't want it, but we don't want you going around being a beggar either.
Right? I don't have an address right now, Coach.
Okay, well, figure out a way that we can get you some funding. Okay.
I appreciate it, but again, I want to thank the prayers. I think that was instrumental in getting me keeping my sanity, because it's scary. I mean, this happened to me once before, Coach. I know this sounds strange, but I was on an Indian reservation working in public health, and I was chased around the hospital with a gun, and the FBI told me to carry a gun to protect myself, because they can't protect you.
Okay, Paul. So let's stop right here a second. People do want to help you. Don't put anything in the chat, folks. No addresses or anything like that. We'll figure out a way to be able to help Paul. Paul, I don't want a whole bunch of questions, but I'll give people a chance to ask a question. And if you can't answer, just act. I'm not going to go there. So anybody real quickly wants to get in and have a question for Paul?
No, but I got something real quick, Coach. If we get you a collection together, why not like a Pony Express? Why not we handle a letter across between you and Paul?
Yes.
And people in the queue drive 60 miles, pick up a letter, drive it 60 miles, and drop it off. Okay.
I love it. Yes.
But it's not in my path, but I'm happy to help in any way, Coach.
All right. So, Paul, what, just so we get an idea, what are, not your legal bills, what are your expenses right now? Do you have rent, food? What's going on there, Paul?
I have a partial rent. It's not terribly bad. I'm still keeping my office open. I'm still going to petition the Board of Medicine to give me my license back. I'm pushing for my lawyers to get this thing settled. Because, you know, the reality is all I really want to do is doing what I was doing before.
Yeah, we need you too, man.
I wanted to mention about Mark Trump. One of the things I noticed when I first got on the show is he called me bold. Just be careful about when you're too bold.
Yeah, amen.
Jesus called Peter down for chopping the ear off, didn't he, Paul? He's like, hold on, hold on.
Yeah, amen.
Anybody questions for Paul? So, Paul, the phone number I have, I can get a hold of you on that phone number now then?
Yes, sir.
Okay, we'll have a conversation, and we want to help you. We stand with you. And, you know, look, folks, here's the truth. As you're watching this right now, you have to be saying, there's got to be more to it than this. That's our natural reaction, right? It's no way. No way they shot him. No way. Well, wait.
Hey, you know, once they reported that I had a gun, that was it.
Do you know who reported that, Paul?
Oh, yes. I have it all on video. Every one of the cops involved.
And so they got secondhand information that you had a gun and you didn't have.
Yeah, you know, the truth is, Coach, when I was in there, I had no access to any legal help whatsoever. I couldn't talk on the phone to anybody. I was at the mercy of my lawyers, who, you know, nice guys, but their goal was to get me out of a bad situation at the time. Yeah, it wasn't It wasn't a long game on this one.
I got you, man. I got you. Wow. Anybody? Question for Paul? We'll move on here. Paul,
We've been in your corner the whole way. Hey, Paul, even if you were guilty, we were in your corner, brother. I want you to know that. And I told people that if Paul actually did this, he ain't heavy. He's our brother.
And, no, Coach, believe me, I'm there's a reason why it all happened. I just don't know yet.
Yeah. Well, one of the reasons it all happens is because there's a devil. Whether we want to believe that, there's a devil. So, and how do we help you? The crazy question. How do you get your medical license back? You know, they did the same thing to Sherry Tenpenny. Anybody who bucks the system, Paul, you know that's true.
Well, Sherry got her license back.
Yep.
Right? Yes. They took my license for 8 months while they played the game. But this is, they have to take your license away because you're being accused of attempted murder and you've just been shot. So, I mean, it's not like they can practice, right?
But they're not standing up at your door coming in to get
the Board of Medicine has its standards, too.
But clearly a lot of defamation going on, right? Saying you had a gun, yada, yada. That's a whole.
Yeah. Coach, I was sick. I was hallucinating. I was scared. I was paranoid. Mm-hmm. And that seemed to be infectious with the rest of them, They just wanted it gone. And, if they have to shoot and just get rid of the problem, I guess that's the easiest way to do it sometimes.
So, Paul, take me through this again, brother, real quickly. You were shot. And it was how long till they got you to the hospital, Paul?
Well, I was afraid to say it, but I calculated it was 80 minutes. Right. And, I'm an EMT and I'm a paramedic first before I'm a doctor, because what I did in the military. And I can guarantee you, when you have a gunshot, your job is to secure the scene and ABGs, stop the bleeding, and get them out as quickly as possible. If it was one of their loved ones who had been shot, you can guarantee they would have been out in 5 minutes.
Yeah.
And that's the thing that bothers me, Coach. It's a human life. Even though I'm a clunkhead, I'm still a human.
Yeah, you sure are. We forget that, don't we? Huh? We do forget that. Well, Paul, we're glad you're back. Getting your feet under you a little bit. We'll talk. We'll get you some financial support. We'll hold up your arms and help you try to get through this. Vinny, come on in.
I just wanted to say to you, remember, you are human, but the things who are after you aren't. That's why they wanted you gone.
There were some players who did have a heart. Otherwise, I would have been pummeled with bullets.
Yeah. Paul, that isn't even, I'm not a cop. That isn't, Chad, you out there, is that even protocol, Chad? I don't get into the weeds. Why they would shoot you? I'm thinking, I've been watching too many things on TV maybe, although I don't watch TV anymore. It seemed to me they would surround your car, they'd shoot out your tires and say, come out with your hands. Anybody think differently than that? That the last thing you would do would fire through into a car that you don't even know who's in it, right? Chad, am I missing something here? Somebody help me out here with cop protocol, because that sure that's not the way I see it done on TV. Anyway, that's right, Brian. Could have been a baby in the car. Nobody knows what was in that car. To fire a gun into that?
Oh. Yeah, it's a little bit complicated, but it'll come out soon enough.
It'll come out. All right, Paul. All right, buddy. Thanks, Paul. Thanks. We're glad you're out, man. And we, as Vinny would say, we have your back, brother. We have your back. Hey, folks, we love people here even when they screw up. You understand that? Sometimes we Christians are the worst about that. Somebody screws up, that's when they need us most. That's when they need family most. There, but for the grace of God, go I. Think of how many stupid things I'm talking about you, how many stupid things I could have done in my life that could have had me in a situation like that. I could go on and on and on. Maybe not even something I did, but with some other knucklehead who did something stupid. Well, I saw how it all played out when I got sued by the ACLU for praying with our football team, how I became a pariah in the media. And they've done everything they can to make Paul Gosselin look nuts, folks. Just go read those articles. Put those articles in there. And they all start out with the same thing. Paul Gosselin, a troubled doctor who's had his license over and over and over. So at the very beginning, they make sure that they pee all over him before they tell the story. That's the way it works, isn't it, Paul?
It is.
And sadly, many of us only read the first paragraph and then we believe it too.
You will be hated by the world.
Yeah. Well, Paul, I just want you to know that I speak for many in this queue who appreciate you because you've helped a lot of us, brother. You've helped a lot of us. And anything we can do to help you get your license back, all in with you, man. All in. All right, going to shift gears. Anybody, I don't know. Paul, do we send, people are asking, I'm getting text messages. Send you cards. We don't want an address. Get that to me, Paul. Whatever. People want to help you, want to be able to help you, brother. All right. And I don't want it to be public where you are. Laura Ann, come on in.
And I pray for Dr. Paul.
Sure, please do.
So Lord, we bring our friend, our brother, Paul, to you. He's your son. You've been with him through all of this when he was scared. But you promised, Lord God, that your arm is not too short to save.
Mm-hmm.
You are his promise. Jesus, you are his promise. You are his hope. And Paul, your son, needs your lifeline of hope and a future filled with it. So this testimony that you are giving to him about the goodness of who you are, because he's not alone. And Lord God, I'm asking you, Jesus, to have an encounter with Paul with such power and might, but with so much of your love, because he needs the power of your love right now. He needs you to meet him where he's at. He needs your strength to love, your strength to have wisdom and knowledge and understanding and how to apply the discernment that you're giving him. I ask you, Lord God, that you give Coach the ability as his brother to sharpen him, come alongside of him, and as you bring others to uphold him, because his arms are too weak, like Moses, to hold him up, that you will bring the right men, your men, to hold him up so that he doesn't fall, that you will heal his body, you will take the trauma, and your God, you will use it for your good and your glory, and that is the weapon that is formed against the enemy, that the trauma that Satan tried to use against Paul, your son, will be used as a weapon against your enemy, and that you will provide for him for every single solitary thing, and miracles upon miracles upon miracles will fall upon Paul like he's never seen before, because you have met him, you've embraced him, and your word says in the Song of Solomon that your left arm embraces you and your right arm comes around him, and he needs to be hugged by you. Your son needs you. He needs to know how deep, how wide, how long, how high your love is for him. He needs you, your embrace. So thank you for that. Thank you for everyone who's reached out to him and continuing so that he knows this is Christmas. This is a time when you are being praised. This is a time, Lord God, when it's about new life and new birth. And may you give Paul, your son, that life. And as he has helped so many people, Lord, and you've used him to be your physician here on earth, continue to use your son to reveal your love and your glory and your hope and your healing in such a new way, Lord God, that he's electrified, encouraged, and loved. In Jesus' name, amen.
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 Thank you, Laura Ann. Wow. So hard to shift gears here a little bit, but I want to shift gears a little bit. And where was that going to go? Oh, you know, I'm one of the weird ones. I admit it. I'm one of the weird ones. I think something great is beginning, is happening. I think something great is happening around us, folks. I'm sure you guys have been following this whole drone thing and what's going on, and I don't want to dive into what the hell's going on with the drones. We know this. It's something they don't want to tell us, and we can speculate all day long. In fact, I saw today that drones were seen, same thing here in the Columbus area last night as well. Something going on. Something for sure is going on. And we know that if there are drones, that the government certainly knows what's going on, right? I don't want to get into it and speculate and all that kind of stuff. Something's happening here. What it is ain't exactly clear, right? But I want this Mitt Romney, pull up number three. I don't like Mitt Romney. Didn't vote for Mitt Romney. Wouldn't vote for Mitt Romney. I don't like Mitt Romney. But I saw this, and you tell me that he doesn't nail it here. Folks, there's something going on. There's a shift in the American. There's a shift. Go ahead and play this.
You said in an interview a few months ago that, quote, there's a good chance that the Republican Party is going to need to be rebuilt or reoriented, and that you want to have a voice in the post-Trump Republican Party. Do you think that do you still think there's going to be a post-Trump Republican Party, or is MAGA now the Republican Party?
Oh, MAGA is the Republican Party, and Donald Trump is the Republican Party today. And if you were to ask me who the nominee will be in 2028, I think it'll be J.D. Vance, all right? He's smart, well-spoken, part of the MAGA movement.
You said something pretty harsh about him a few months ago, though. You could not have less respect for somebody than J.D.
Long ago. I'm not going to rehash history. And we've worked together in the Senate since then. But that is what the Republican Party is. And will the party need to change? Look, the Republican Party has become the party of the working class, middle class voter. And you've got to give Donald Trump credit for having done that. Taking that away from the Democrats. Democrats pushed him out, all right? The Bernie Sanders, Elizabeth Warren faction of the Democrat Party with some of this, you know, defund the police and transgenders in, biological males in women's sports. These things had a lot of people in the middle class just flee the Democratic Party. They're now Republicans. Now, one of the challenges in my party is that our policies do not necessarily line up with the interests of our voters. And so there'll be some reorientation that's going to be necessary in my party. The Democrat Party is the one in trouble. I don't know how they recover. I'm not going to tell them what to do because I would begin to have the capacity to do so. But they've lost their base. Union guys and gals have left the Democratic Party and are voting Republican. And the Democratic Party is seen not as rich people, but as college professors and woke scolds. And that's not an attractive feature.
Okay, so let's understand. Mitt Romney's trying to save his own hide here, right? Yet, he nails it, right? He absolutely nails it. And so the Republican Party has become the party of the working guy. How did that happen? Because the working guy, as we talk about here all the time, when I say the sun's coming up, those working guys, those union guys, don't want their son to become a woman. You understand that? They're not for that. And somewhere along the line, the far, far demonic left overplayed their hand. That's what I think we see is going on. And it's not, again, folks, I don't know how often I can tell you, it ain't about Trump. It isn't about Trump. It's about an awakening, I believe, an awakening in the hearts of people who understand something is seriously wrong. Let me parlay this a little bit more, okay? I was having this conversation with somebody the other day, talking about going down to the hurricane area. And I said, you know what? The local church has no impact at all down there in the hurricane area because they don't understand the gospel of the kingdom. They don't understand it. And so men and women who
maybe were raised in faith, now are 40, 45 years old and haven't been to church forever because they just hated what church had become, wanted nothing to do with it. Now, all of a sudden, they are in, everything they have has been destroyed. And the church shows up to help. The church doesn't show up to tell them that they're wicked and they're going to go to hell and we're against transgender. They show up and they help. They help. And people are saying, golly, why are these people helping me? See, that's the gospel, friends. And those of us who are saved by the grace of God, we don't even know how to articulate the gospel anymore. Bible says they will know we are Christians by our love. And so I look around at the multitude of Christian churches who ain't doing crap. Nothing. People, around here, churches think it's over. That was 3 months ago. We were 3 months ago. You listening out there, pastors? Here's what I would do if I were you. I'd stand in the pulpit and I would say, we're going to purchase a home for somebody. Does anybody out here know of a camper that someone has that we could purchase in our congregation? We're not going to send them water bottles. We're not going to send them socks. We're not going to send them shoes. We're not going to send them used sweatshirts. Our church is going to get a camper, and we're going to take it down there so somebody can live in it. In fact, those of you sitting on, some of you guys who've been in this church forever, I'm going to let you, pastor would say, I'm going to let you be in charge of it. Or how about this? How about the youth group raise the money to buy a camper, and then your church delivers it to the needy? The church doesn't even know how to do it. We don't even know how to get involved. You know what will happen? It's going to be two lives that are going to be changed. The person they deliver it to and the one who delivered it. Their lives will never be the same. Because they'll see it and they'll understand it and they'll make a connection that they would never have made. We're sitting in a culture and a society today where the church, whether we want to admit it or not, folks, the lost people ain't coming to church. They're not going to walk into your church. They're not going to. We got to go to them. And not go to them and tell them they're going to hell and tell them that whatever. No. Just go and help. Just go and help. And I can't believe that the churches can't figure it out. Can't believe it. Every congregation listening to me right now, your congregation, for probably $3,000, you can find a used camper and drag that thing down there and give somebody a home. And then you take ownership in what's going on. And those people yell. Anybody think I'm crazy? Why is this so hard? Why is this so hard? Because we've become so government dependent. We become dependent on the government. And I'm going to tell you this. Everyone that I know who has gone down to Swannanoa or wherever, every person I know has done that, it has changed their lives. Because they see the devastation. And unfortunately, modern American Christianity has been about accumulating stuff. And all those people down there lost their stuff. Everything they had, gone. What's the church's response? I'm not being critical. Send them water? Really? I mean, we're beyond, water was good. We're beyond water. We're beyond it. Socks? I mean, that's good, socks. How about getting them out of our freaking tent? I told you this the other day where I drove 9 miles. It's not even 6 miles from Newark to where I get off of my house on Route 13. And I saw sitting 9 campers, 9 sitting in different yards, 9 campers. And what do you think would happen if you went to your church and said, does anybody have a camper here? Anybody have a camper? Oh, you do? Well, could we buy that from you? And men here in the church, let's get this thing fixed up and let's get it down there so we have some ownership. People are freezing to death in tents and we're sending water and used shoes. Dave Allison's been down there to see it. Come on in, Dave.
Yeah, good morning, Coach. The stark reality is that everyone in the queue or everyone listening today, especially those that went to church yesterday, would ask himself the stark reality, is my pastor leading me out, as in John chapter 10 says? Mm. If they're not, they are the hireling. And Coach, to be honest with you, the called are not welcome in the pulpit in the churches of America today. No. Because they can't handle the truth. They can't handle the gospel and where it leads them. They've got this false gospel, this love everybody, and let's all get along and tolerate. And that's where we're at. And Coach, it's interesting, you know, you mentioned my music on the show frequently and how it's ministered to you, and I appreciate that. But look, you know what I realized, Coach? All those years that I was in church up there playing music, and I truly did have a heart to lead people in the worship. But the reason why they let me do that is because I was entertaining the folks. And the folks liked the entertainment.
That's right. That's right.
And, yeah. You know, and as I, people don't know this, I, to God the glory, all of the people who have supported me financially, purchasing CDs or whatever, 100% of that has gone back to Pass the Salt. I've not taken $1 for any of that. Because to God be all the glory, and I never want any of his glory. And if the music ministered to somebody, praise the Lord. And it's all about him. And even I have to laugh. I look back. I made that 20 years ago. And my theology has actually changed. Some of that stuff I would change a little bit, right? But that's okay. Yeah. If it still ministers to you, if they find some truth, praise the Lord. But that's what really hurts. And I just recently got a request to go play somewhere. And the person really asked me, would you come and entertain the people? He didn't ask me, what day would you come and minister to the people? Would you come and sing something that they'll like and that they know? Coach, it's like you ask somebody asking you, Coach, I want you to come, but I want you to give the same exact message you gave last year. Don't change it at all. You're the same one.
Yeah.
You know? And so, but my point is, yeah, I went to Swannanoa. Coach has helped us and others on this queue has helped me understand that the calling is to go out. I went out. I went to Swannanoa and it changed me. I'm a different person today than I was before I left.
Amen.
Because I went out and I stood amongst the people. And if you're a pastor is not calling you to do that, I really question the ministry that you're supporting. Thanks for letting me share.
No, amen, Dave. Amen, brother. Amen. 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 Get a smell of the smoke on you, brother. Roger, come on in.
Oh, I've got a little different take on the church involvement. I think locally, when I go onto various websites down there, there are numerous churches that are doing things down there. Now, I've not been there, but on the site, I just see numerous local churches promoting, doing, and so forth. I think the American church, the church up north, out west, is done with it. You know what I'm saying? I think they're kind of done. They're kind of moving on to whatever is the next issue they're dealing with. But I do see the local church down there from just the public relations and the promotions and what they're doing. It seems to be engaged, trying to help. I think churches away from there, probably 300 miles or more. I think they're just kind of moving on. And that's kind of what I sense.
Well, Roger, I think they were forced into action, really. You know, FEMA didn't show up and somebody had to do something, right?
Yeah.
And that's why it's really been so difficult from our standpoint, my standpoint, folks, because what do they need? They need socks. What do they need? By the way, while I'm thinking of it, we have another camper that I need a fifth wheel to pull down. It's here on our property and we need to get it down there, but it's a fifth wheel. A If somebody has the ability to pull a fifth wheel, in other words, you know how that fifth wheel works, we'll pay the expenses for you to get it down there. We have a perfectly another one, nice one, that you can't drive down. It has to be towed down. So contact me if you're able to help us in that situation. And again, look folks, we got to, until you go there, you don't understand how overwhelming it is. But every camper is somebody's house. You've rescued somebody out of it, right? Every one of them that you take down there. And that's really the only way that we have to be able to approach it. Mark, come on in.
Yeah, I got one to deliver this weekend, but I'll do it.
You have the ability to do that, Mark?
Yep. Yeah, I got a fifth wheel camper hooked to it right now in the front yard.
Okay.
Mark,
so I'll
Mark,
be up 2 weeks Mark, from now.
Mark, it's 15,000 pounds.
It's a big one.
I got a 2,500.
Good, good.
With 360 horse and a fifth wheel. I'm ready to go.
Okay, Mark, thanks. And I'm going to listen to see if somebody else locally maybe can do that.
Well, at 15,000, he's right. It would be better to get a dually. Mine's not a dually, but I can do it.
All right.
Okay. So well, let's give it this week. It'll be 2 weeks before I can, so we got 2 weeks for someone else with a bigger truck. Appreciate the caution, Dave.
Yep. Amen. Amen. So somebody out there, maybe you know, maybe that's you. Maybe you have a dually that can pull that thing down there. Why don't that? Somebody will get warm in that thing, man. Somebody will get out of the weather in that thing, right? That's like the old story about a guy who was walking along the beach and had those starfish washed up on the beach. You know how that does, you know. And he'd walk down, he'd grab one, he'd throw it out in the water, and he's walking on it. Every time he'd see it, pick it up and throw it out. And some guy was watching him. And he said, hey, dude. Finally, the guy came up to him and said, hey, dude, you're not going to make a difference, man. There's more starfish out there than you're going to ever be able to pick up. And the guy said, yeah, you're right. You know what? But it made a difference to that one. And that's the way we have to approach it. Makes a difference to that one. And I want all of you to know this, that one of the things that I want to try to do just from just to keep everything kosher, I'm gonna meet with Glenn and some other guys. I'm going to put a group of guys together who are going to be financially in control. I'm going to open up a different account at Pass the Salt. It'll be this relief account that other guys will be in charge of, and we'll do good due diligence on where the money's gone and just we'll have some guys overseeing that. So for those of you out there that are concerned about that, we're gonna make sure we do that in a kosher way as well. So hats, remember, I got a lot of hats. If you want to help support what we do, get a hat, go online, order a hat, and we'll stick it in an envelope, and you'll have it before Christmas. And if it's not for you, buy it for your husband or buy it for one of your kids. I got my grandson, little Dave's wearing. I get him wearing one of my cross hats around too. So. You can support us, what we do here, by doing that. Paul, we're glad you're back, man. We're glad you're back. And we're glad you're not dead. Honestly, glad you're not dead. And we'll do what we can to try to help you out there. Hey, thanks, folks. Happy Monday. See you tomorrow.